Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. The last few months, I've noticed that our church is very behind in our giving, and that probably means that I haven't done a very good job of teaching you how to give, because I've been here for almost 14 years, and I know that you have generous hearts. And I can't change a person's heart. Only God can do that. But even if you have generous hearts, if you don't follow God's wisdom for managing money and giving, then you might not be able to live the way you want to live. You might not be able to give the way you want to give. I've never been a pastor that likes to talk about money or stewardship that often, because I believe generosity does not come from feeling guilty. And unfortunately, whenever I talk about money, people feel guilty. So I just don't talk about it a lot. I believe that giving comes from a heart overflowing with gratitude towards God for all his blessings. So I like to talk about God's blessings. I'm going to do that today too. But I wonder if I've overlooked teaching you just the basic principles of stewardship so that you can give and live the way you want to in your heart. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Most people, when they are going to retire, when they look forward to retirement, they think they want to spend more time with their loved ones. They want to do traveling. They want to spoil their grandkids, all this kind of stuff. But they also desire to make a real difference in the world. They want to leave a legacy. That might look like dividing up the farm for their future generations, maybe starting a scholarship fund, maybe just helping out people randomly in their family and outside of their family. But no matter how much you want to be generous in retirement, if you didn't prepare for it earlier in life, you're not going to have the ability to do it. Because even though your heart's in the right place, your bank account is not. If you don't save up for retirement, for example, you may end up having to pay credit card bills by working part-time, 75 years old, as a greeter at Walmart. And while I have nothing against those greeters, if they want to do it, if they feel like they have to when they're 75 years old, that's no fun. That's not probably what they dreamed of doing, and it's not really what God wants for your golden years either. So I want to share with you some of God's wisdom for how to handle money, written in the Bible, that I hope will make a practical difference in your life. Because if you're not worrying about your money, you're going to have a lot more time to focus on following Jesus, discipling other people, really making a difference. If you can learn to manage your money now, you might notice that these lessons apply to all kinds of other areas in your life. So I really do hope it's of practical use for you. I want to start by reading from 1 Timothy 6. You've already heard it once, but this is an amazing Bible passage. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, maybe some of your bank accounts are bigger than other people here. I don't know. But Scripture tells us again and again how rich we all are. You have been blessed to be a blessing to others. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. The foundation of generosity is not how much money you have. You've got to get that through your head. It's not about how much money you have, but knowing that you have a God who is always going to provide for you generously and abundantly, because it's his stuff, and he's asking you to manage it. God allows you to use his resources while you're here on this earth, and he expects you to enjoy yourself and to use these resources wisely, and even to expand them so that they are a blessing to other people. Stewardship is just a fancy word for management. You're managing somebody else's stuff, God's stuff. But you need to ask yourself a question. What kind of manager of God's resources are you? What are you doing with the time that he has blessed you with here on this earth? What are you doing with the talents that he has given you? How are you using the money that he has provided you? I'm going to read to you a little story from a book, and it's called Beyond Blessed by Robert Morris. Christy said that a church, Sophia said at a church she went to one time, they gave them all this book for free and she never read it, so I stole it from her, and it's an amazing book. Here we go. With high hopes and a knot in his stomach, Dave clicked open the email. Thanks for applying, but he didn't need to read any further. This was clearly another in a long series of disappointing rejections by potential employers. His ongoing attempts to land a new and better job had proven fruitless and frustrating. His current job, working the night shift 6 or 7 days a week at a technology company, kept him from seeing his wife, Julie, and their two college-age kids. What was worse, the compensation wasn't great. Around this time, Dave and Julie, not their real names, became members of Gateway Church and began to hear me teaching about the power of putting God first in their finances. For a long time, I had been completely against tithing as a rule of thumb, Dave recalls. It was like, if God needed the money, then he would have it. He doesn't need my money. The couple had been slowly chipping away at their debt for just over 3 years. However, they just couldn't seem to get the financial breakthrough they were working so hard to achieve. The family was at a low point, but all that was about to change. This couple stood at a significant point of decision. They were at a fork in the road. They had struggled financially throughout most of their 2+ decades of marriage. One road meant continuing to do things the same way they had been doing them in the past and hoping for better results. The other road involved a leap of faith. It meant doing something that didn't make total sense to their natural minds. That is, taking 10% of an income that was already stretched much farther than it could go and redirecting it to God via the church where they were being spiritually fed. After praying together, Dave and Julie were in agreement. They already knew God was capable of doing miracles in the area of physical health. Their daughter had been cancer-free for more than a decade. This encouraged them to step out and trust him with their fiscal health. We just need to knuckle down and start tithing, Dave remembers saying, and they did. On their very next payday, Dave still recalls the exact date, February 28th, 2013. Julie logged onto our church website and made their first ever tithe as the very first expenditure of that pay period. God came first. They'd trust him to help them work out the rest. Less than 24 hours later, Dave was at his computer checking email again. This time, there was a message from a company at which he hadn't even applied for a job. Somehow, the head of a local cable company had come across Dave's resume on an employment listing site. He was offering Dave a job. Not only were the hours much better, but the salary was more than Dave anticipated, and there were health benefits, too. With gratitude and faith, they continued their new lifestyle of putting God first in their finances. Julie looks back now and says, immediately our finances made a complete turnaround. The Bible is full of this concept of first fruits. There are scriptures about bringing the first lamb to God in the Old Testament, the first grain to God, even your first child to be consecrated by God. The first commandment says that we're to worship God above anything else. In other words, to put him as first in every part of our lives. And the same is true with our money. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. By giving God the first of all that you receive, what you're saying is he's got your heart, that you trust him, that he's going to provide for everything you need. And how do we do that? He makes it clear in the Bible. This is called a tithe or a tenth. One of my favorite scriptures comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I talked about this in the newsletter for this month. I just want you to test God. I mean, he says it in the Bible. Just try it out. 90 days, 90-day tithing challenge. Just see what would happen if you decided you were going to give 10% of your income and give it away, giving it. See if God will provide for you or not. If he doesn't, what have you really lost? I guess 30%. We'll see. I'm just saying, I believe that God will come through for you, and that you'll find that he, in fact, blesses you with even more. God promises that somehow, in his economy, when you give God your first 10% and decide to live off the other 90%, you will be astounded at how you end up with more than you originally thought you were going to have. It's happened in my life and in the lives of countless other people. When Christy and I first started tithing, it was in Connecticut. No, we did not get married in Connecticut. We spent lots of years not tithing as a couple. But in Connecticut, when I was serving that church up there, we were $56,000 in debt, and we wanted to start tithing. And it didn't make a lot of sense to be giving 10% of our income to church while we were still trying to pay off our credit cards. But that's what God said to do, and we wanted to do it. That's what his wisdom said. We had already tried it out our way, and we were $56,000 in debt. We wanted to see what would happen if we did things God's way. And somehow, we started finding extra money all over the place. Because when you apply God's wisdom to your finances, God is able to trust you with more resources that you simply would not have been equipped to handle before. God's wisdom is clear. No matter what your circumstances, give first. But once you start giving, you might find a common problem that you have. The sixth commandment says, do not steal. And yet, I bet that practically every adult in here has stolen in their past. And you might even be doing it right now. And in fact, you might even be proud of it. The scary thing is that most of us are in the business of stealing from ourselves. But society doesn't call it stealing anymore. They call it debt. In his book, Beyond Blessed, Robert Morris says, what many Christians don't realize is that spending money that you don't have is a form of stealing. It's stealing from your future self and from your family's future. You're reaching into the future and robbing yourself of choices, robbing yourself of freedom and of peace. This kind of theft is a symptom of a much deeper issue, our inability to just wait. We want what we want now. You see, if you see something that you want, God has a radical suggestion for you on how you're supposed to get it that does not involve debt. He says it's called saving, saving up for a purchase. Let's hear again from the Bible. This is Proverbs chapter 6. My son, if you have been trapped what you have said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. It says, allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, consider its ways and be wise. It stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. It says, if you're in debt, you gotta do everything you can right now to get out, because it's a trap. He gives an alternative. He says, look at the ant. It saves, it stores. So to summarize, if you don't have enough money for something that you want, don't steal from your future. Don't steal from other people. Wait and save up for the purchase. God's wisdom, again, is very clear. Give first. Stay out of debt and save for the things that you want. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. You've got to have a plan for your money before you spend it. We talked about this last week at Financial Peace University. You've got to have a budget. And not only write down a budget, you got to stick to your budget. A budget is just telling your money where you want it to go. And if you don't tell your money where to go before you spend it, you will have no idea where it went by the end of the month. This is God's wisdom when it comes to being a good manager. Jesus talks about the same idea in the Gospel of Luke. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? God's wisdom when it comes to money is very simple. Give first, stay out of debt, save for the things you want, and plan for how you're going to spend your money. I believe that we're at a fork in the road here at Emmanuel as well. I know that you are generous. I know that God has blessed us all with more than enough to support the ministries here at Emmanuel. I know these things. The only question is, are we going to follow God's wisdom when it comes to our money and put it into practice? The generations before us believed that by supporting their church financially, they were going to be able to spread the message of Jesus' love and forgiveness. And I believe that most of us are here because of their vision and sacrifice. But I'm going to be honest, a lot of those people are dying. A lot of those people are on a fixed income and are in the nursing homes, or they're homebound now. So we now have the same opportunity to make a real difference in the lives of the next generation by telling them about Jesus through supporting the ministries right here at Emmanuel. The only question is, are we going to do it? So today's message is certainly not about how much you're going to give to church today or at the harvest meal this afternoon. It's really about what you're going to do every day from here on out. It's about trusting God's wisdom when it comes to your money and putting that into practice next week and then next month and then next year and see what God does. Because if you follow God's wisdom, just imagine what God could do in your life. And because generous hearts that have been given the tools to give like that, they will change not only the trajectory of your life, but the trajectory of this church and of this community. It can change everything, because once God's blessing comes into our lives and we have the tools to be able to live that out, God changes the world through people like you and me. Amen.